Hello, I'm Bill Davidson. Changing our format a bit, we're going to be opening up with songs. Everyone knows who we are by the introduction to our tape, to our broadcast. So I don't need to talk anymore except songs and teach and so forth. There's great pressure this day, I'm going to tell you that. Serious pressure. The hour is serious, sober. I posted this past week, and I talked of this yesterday in Joplin at our two-hour meeting. It was a great meeting. God has blessed this ministry with some real hearts and voices that can sing and minister the Spirit of God. But I want to talk about from Numbers 14 again. I believe it's the 14th chapter, where Moses was leading God's people out of Egypt, and they'd come out with about a dozen or so miracles that God had done through Moses and Aaron. And it was a great deliverance, and the people saw God's power in a magnificent way. And they got out about 3 days, if I recall, and they started murmuring. They started murmuring. You know, when God had me start this ministry in Plano, at first they were so happy, but I don't think it was very many days until the murmurers came. The murmurers came. I had a woman walk up to me and say, "You know why this church won't grow?" I said, "No, I don't know. Because there's some woman in here stole a husband from another woman." I said, "Really? That doesn't bother me a bit. That's God's problem. Did you know that? Did you know that? That's God's problem. Did you know that? Did you hear that? That's God's problem. That's none of your business. Well, it's sin. Well, it's sin for your tongue to be set on fire from hell, too. Did you ever know that? It's also sin to be a busybody. Did you know that? You know, some serious things coming out of this, by the Spirit this morning. But back to Moses leading the people out. And murmuring began. And it didn't make God one bit happy after they saw all of his great power and all of his great miracles. It didn't make him one bit happy at that group of people. And you know, God has showed great power to this group of people in America that follows my ministry, that used to build this sanctuary on Sunday morning at half of the fellowship hall, and God showed them great power. One Sunday morning, I walked the middle, that's before we put carpet in, I walked this middle aisle for 1 hour, the power of God coming upon me. It felt like bull nettles sticking me in the face, needles sticking me in the face. I wasn't sure what it was then, but now I know it's the fiery darts of the wicked. And they didn't like that. Amen. For a solid hour, I've watched God do tremendous deliverance of people in this place. That was before 87 for sure, because that's, I believe, when we put the carpet in. Amen. So, those people don't realize what kind of treachery they are facing. They're facing the power of God. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They're not facing Doyle Davidson. He is just a servant of the Almighty God. But God brought that group of people back to the Jewish people that he brought out of Egypt, and he brought them out into the wilderness. And one day, they had pushed God too far. And God was wroth with them. And he started talking to Moses. He said, "Moses, get out of the way. Move out of the way. I'm going to kill them as one person, all of them." Oh, that's Jehovah. That's the Father of Jesus Christ. That's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob that you people scoff at. Thank God. And Moses said, no, I will not allow you to kill these people. And God had said to him, and begin with him, a new group of people. And Moses said, I will not let you do that, because if I let you do that, the heathen, the Egyptians, I believe, will blaspheme your name because and say you were not able to bring the people in. You know, there's a bunch of people that are just railing against me and this ministry and all the people that are present with me throughout America and the world, and they just rail against them and say all kinds of wicked things. One day, God will get enough of that, and you don't know what day that'll be, but he'll get enough, like he did with Moses. But that day, and when God was teaching me this in 1974 in Argyle, God showed me that day what he said to Moses, that he would pardon those people according to Moses' request, but he said, I will tell you this, my glory will fill the earth. And at that very day, he said to me something that was astonishing to me. He said, and your ministry will cover the earth as the water covers the sea. Well, I couldn't believe that, but God doesn't care if you believe it or not. He'll stand you right there until you do, if he's got something that he wants done. Now, if you are doing the will of God, that's great. And that's the only way you can walk. And it's getting more difficult to talk if you don't know it. These spirits are really upset at me. Well, God bless you. Now, you can't stop me. But my ministry has covered the earth, just like God said it would. And guess what? It is right now. Right now. Live stream all over the world. Not only that, we're on Roku in whatever countries that Roku is available to. I'm not sure of that, but I don't know. But live stream, we're there. And we've been live since January 07 on live stream. People all over the world see this program and hear it, and they've heard this gospel. Now, I want to say that I've asked that we sing that the Mize do this song, to God be the glory, and they did, my tribute. What a great song. God gave me that and put that in my spirit yesterday morning to bring it forth, and we have. But there's something else that's very important that all of you need to humble yourself and consider what God is saying, and that's in the fifth chapter of the book of Acts. Fifth chapter of the book of Acts. On Friday night, we spoke here out of the fourth chapter of the book of Acts and talked about the great grace that was on this ministry and the great power of God that was upon this ministry, and because they had seen a notable miracle in that third chapter, in the fourth chapter of Acts, they were talking about it, a notable miracle. A man that had been lame for more than 40 years, and God healed him by faith in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. A notable miracle. And the man stood there before them all in perfect soundness. With perfect soundness. We talked of this yesterday in Joplin at the Holiday Inn. But now we're moving to Acts chapter 5. I just warn you to humble yourself, because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Have you ever read that? Yesterday, today, and forever. Well, let me show you what happened in the fifth chapter of the book of Acts. And this happened to churchgoers. Churchgoers. How do you know? We'll follow along and you judge. All right? You judge. So, Katie, would you start in Acts 5. I'm sorry, is that you?
No.
Oh, my God.
No.
It is you. I hit the dead.
You hit the chair.
I hit the chair. I didn't hit you. I'm happy I didn't hit you. Amen. But if you start reading in verse 1, and we're going to go rather slow.
All right.
Chapter 5, the book of Acts.
Verse 1. But a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira his wife, sold a possession, and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it.
Now listen to that. Ananias and Sapphira sold some land, some property, didn't say Ananias. And they kept back part of the price. Now listen, because they got in serious trouble, and it wasn't because they kept back the money. Let's move on.
His wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet.
They were instructed to bring it and lay it at the apostles' feet. That's how you know they were part of the church. They sold the property. You see? Let's go on.
Verse 3. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of this price of the land?
Thank you. You know, Peter knew that by the Spirit of God. Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart? Filled your heart. And you lie to the Holy Ghost and keep back part of the money. Now I want to show you. He didn't get in trouble for keeping the money. He got in trouble for lying to the Holy Ghost. Now I want to say this as a warning to everybody by the Spirit of God. There's been one lie after another spoken about me and other people that walk with me in the Spirit of God. One lie after another. They don't just say them, they write them. And God is aware of what you're doing. And He's warning you today. I don't know what else He's saying, but He's warning you, here's how I deal with liars. So, Revelation 21:8 says, all liars will go to the pit. All liars will go to the pit. Look, this is not my choice. This is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Jehovah. Saying, these words by the Spirit of God through me. All right, Kathy, let's go next.
Verse 4. Whiles it remained, was it not thine own?
Look at that. While what remained? The property. Was it not thine own? All right?
And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power?
And after it was sold, was it not in Ananias' power? To do what? What's next?
And why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God.
Right. Lied unto God. And he conceived, it came from the heart. Conceived it in his heart. His wife also agreed with him. We'll get to that in a few minutes. But he lied to God. Now, folks, you don't want to lie to men, but you sure don't want to lie to God. You're in trouble, and it's, every time I can see, it's irreversible, the consequences. Go ahead.
Verse 5, and Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost.
Oh, did you see that? It wasn't warning time. Do you know that? It wasn't time to warn again. I mean, God was dealing with a man that had lied to God. He lied to God. He lied to the Holy Ghost. Amen. Incredible. And what happened? He just fell over dead. It was sudden. It doesn't take long, folks. Doesn't take long. Next.
And great fear came on all them that heard these things.
That should scare people, huh? You know, I've warned people for years. Someday, you're going to see these things. Oh, no, you know, you are full of this, full of that. Well, I'm full of fire, full of wisdom, full of faith. And I'm telling you, this word means what it says. Gave up the ghost, a dead man. What did Peter say?
What's six. That? And the young man arose, wound him up, and carried him out and buried him.
Right.
And it was about the space of 3 hours after, when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in.
Just a minute. Peter had 3 hours to think about this. I want you to know something, folks. It doesn't bother an apostle to serve God. It does not bother. Oh, when you first begin, you're going to have problems. It's going to be difficult. But the hour will come when God has, you've suffered, you've been settled, you've been perfected, you've been established to where it won't bother you one bit what God wants to say through you. Doesn't bother me anymore. I'm past those days. I don't care if you like me or not. You know that? I get paid the same. Go ahead.
And Peter answered unto her, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. And she said, yea, for so much.
Listen now.
Nine.
She lied, right?
Right.
Go on.
Then Peter said unto her, how is it that you have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door, and shall carry thee out. And she fell down straightway at his feet and yielded up the ghost.
Now, here's two dead people in church, a man and a woman. I suppose husband and wife. I'm not sure it said that, but anyway. They agreed together. They owned the property together. And they're both dead for lying to God, lying to the Holy Ghost. What's next?
And the young man came in, found her dead, and carrying her forth, buried her by her husband. And great fear came upon all the church and upon as many as heard these things.
I want to tell you all something. I've said this for years. When this happens, that the church will get more respect. You know that? That they'll get some respect. No question about it. What's next, Kathy?
12. And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. And of the rest durst no man join himself to them, but the people magnified them. And believers were the more added to the Lord, multiples of both men and women. Insomuch they brought forth the sick into the streets, and laid them on beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. There came also a multitude out of the cities round about into Jerusalem, bringing sick folks, and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed, every one.
What verse is that?
That is 16.
What's 17?
17 is, then the high priest rose up.
That's good. 16 is where I want to stop. You notice that? The power, the great grace and great power that was on those people, that same grace and grace and same power is on us. No question. You said, well, you haven't seen that. Look, I have told you how people came against me and they died. I've told you that. I told you that. And you laugh at it. You don't believe it. Doesn't make any difference. I've seen God do all kinds of miracles, cast out devils, heal the sick. I know God raised a man from the dead right over here on the bicycle track. I know that, but just by me praying a simple prayer and my hands 3 feet above me. I know that. You said, well, you don't have any proof. I don't need any proof. I got proof in heaven. I got proof in my heart, and the man's alive, I guess, today. I don't know what happened to him after that. But after the emergency people came, I said, may I leave? And they said, sure. I said, goodbye. I wanted out of there. I didn't want anybody to come and ask me any silly questions. Thank God. You need to understand, God cannot be tempted forever. You will pay for it for certain. But notice, these people were full of fear. And those that didn't glorify the church, they stayed away from them. But they magnified them. Understand, folks, we're living in this hour. It is not me that does any of this, nor is it anyone else. You are not under it's not under our control. It is God that can do anything he wants to do. Now, you're going to see some interesting things in the hours ahead in the book of Acts. How God dealt with everybody, leaders and all. He didn't care. God's in charge. And you know what I can read? What I can see by reading this in the book of Acts? Whatever God needs to do for the gospel to go forward, God will do it. Because you cannot stop what God has said will come to pass. Thank God. Bless the Lord, soul. Bless the Lord. Praise God. Thank you, Father. Praise your name. Bless your name. Praise your name. Worship you, Father. Glorify you. Magnify your name. Thank you, Father. Bless your name. Praise your name. Bless the Lord. Praise the Lord. 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 Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Well, thank God. Oh, I don't mind telling you, people, it's hard. It's tough. But get this straight. You will not stop me and the people with me. Amen. So if you think it's a picnic, go ahead and think that. But I don't mind telling you, the affliction and persecution that comes from wicked people and the wicked tongues set on fire from hell is incredible, but get it straight. You can never stop God. Now, and you can't stop his servants. Ha, ha, ha. Okay, let's go to Acts 5. Where do we want to start, Kathy? 17?
17.
Let's go.
Then the high priest rose up, and all they that were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and were filled with indignation, and laid their hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison. Hold the it. Angel of the Lord by night.
Hold it. 1 minute. They were indignant because two of their friends had lied to God and died in church. Now, I want to help you people with church. The church is not a local group of people meeting in a building or wherever they're at. The church is a locale. And the church, the body of Christ in Dallas and Fort Worth, is the church. In Dallas and Fort Worth. See, and no, it's not this down the street. It's not the one that you play your silly games in with 50,000 people or whatever. That's not the body of Christ. That's a body of Antichrist. What's wrong with you people? We're not the dumbest people in the city. We have the wisdom of God. And that makes us wiser than all of you. now. So don't tell me, you know, that this won't work here, that won't work there, because that you don't, you're not a participant or you're not a member of this place. Well, you're certainly not a member of this place if you fight it. But if you're a member of the body of Christ in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, I'm an apostle sent to you. It doesn't matter who you think you are, and it doesn't matter if you think I have any authority or not towards you. I've got it. Give it to me by God. Did you hear that one? So they got indignant because Ananias and Sapphira died. Well, I'm pretty sure there are going to be some people die not too long from now for touching God's anointed and doing his prophets harm. And when they do, there'll be some indignant people, okay? So get that straight. Now, and they were there. What did they do? Put them in prison, huh? In the hole or something?
Put them in the common prison.
A common prison. Well, they're all common. Let's go. What happened?
But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, "Go, stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life."
Do you see how little God pays attention to authorities when his purposes are to preach the gospel, and the authorities say, and he set up, and they say, "Oh no, we don't want your preaching here." Well, see what God did? They put them in a common prison. The angel came, opened the doors, go in there and tell them what you're supposed to tell them, and go and see what happens. Kathy, look what happened. Read it.
21. And when they heard that, they entered into the temple early in the morning and taught.
The apostles. They paid no attention to what the authorities told them. Let's go.
But the high priest came, and they that were with him, and called the council together, and all the senate of the children of Israel, and sent to the prison to have them brought. But when the officers came and found them not in the prison, they returned and told, saying, "The prison truly found we shut with all safety, and the keepers standing without before the doors. But when we had opened, we found no man within."
Is that incredible? Did you know that's God? All you people that believe every word of the Bible, hold it over your head and wave it, you know. I believe every word of the Bible, the inerrancy of it and all this. You believe this? Do you believe this could happen in Plano? You believe this could happen in Dallas, Fort Worth? Oh, God does what he wants to. 43 years I've been obeying this doctrine. And a lot of you thought you could stop me, but you didn't get it done. And you never will. And so what happened then?
24. Now when the high priest and the captain of the temple and the chief priest heard these things, they doubted of them whereunto this would grow. Then came one and told them, saying, "Behold, the men whom you put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people."
You see that? Did you know you can't shut my mouth? Did you know that? Oh, you've tried it, but it didn't work. You never did shut my mouth. You know, you can have no power, no authority over me or anybody that believes the gospel unless God gave that power to you. And he does what he wants to do. See, this authority that I walk in is not mine. It's God's. Not mine at all. It actually belongs to Jesus Christ, of whom God gave authority in heaven and earth. And Jesus put it on me and said, "Go do this job," and all these people with me. They're not nuts. You know, I was told recently that somebody was talking about me, and they made a great effort to go speak about it and said, "He's insane." Well, I don't know about that. I'm doing pretty well. We're an insane person, wouldn't you say? You're not bothering me. Now, which one's insane? Maybe you're worse than me, huh? No, you are. Next.
26. Then went the captain with the officers and brought them without violence, for they feared the people, lest they should have been stoned. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, Did not we straitly command you that you should not teach in this name? And behold, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine, and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men.
Did you hear that? Ought to obey God rather than man. Did you know this group right here, and there's a lot of us in the United States, and a whole lot more outside. But these people obey God. They do the will of God. You can't stop it. I mean, you could bob your head off. Go ahead, Kathy.
30. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you slew and hanged on a tree. Him has God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God has given to them that obey him. When they heard that, they were cut to the heart and took counsel to slay them. Then stood up there one in the council, a Pharisee named Gamaliel.
Look here.
A doctor of the law, had in reputation among all the people, commanded to put the apostles forth a little space, and said unto them,
hold it. They wanted to kill them. That's what you all want to do. You're a bunch of murderers. Your heart, I mean, you love to kill me. You've even blogged that, they tell me. And the last account I had, you were going to be there with your cameras to film my end. Well, you know what? My end in America, in the world, is going to go right straight up and meet Jesus in the clouds. What are you going to do with your camera? You people are nuts. Now, so Gamaliel is a doctor of the law, a man of reputation. And I want you to hear what this man said. It'd be nice if somebody in Dallas and Fort Worth had a reputation like Gamaliel would stand up and talk to you people. It'd be nice. For your sake, not mine, I don't care. You don't realize how little I don't care anymore about your wickedness. Because I've laid my life down for you, taught you the truth, given the counsel of God to you, have not pulled back one word, and you just keep railing on people, me and others, and it doesn't even bother me. Well, I don't lose any sleep over you. I've cried my last tear over you people. Now, Kathy, you want to read?
35. And said unto them, you men of Israel, take heed to yourselves what you intend to do as touching these men. For before these days rose up Thaddeus, boasting himself to be somebody, to whom a number of men, about 400, joined themselves, who was slain, and all, as many as obeyed him, were scattered and brought to naught.
Oh. I taught that for 30 years in this building. I've taught you people, I don't know how many times, these very passages. And I said, all you people that are concerned that I'm a cult leader, have you all been out of shape over what I say? I said, look, if I'm not a god, look what happens. This place, the people get scattered, and come to naught, this will. What happened to this dude? Did he die?
Yeah, he said, who was slain?
Oh, he was slain. They killed him. He didn't die natural.
Right.
All right. Okay, so I've told you this. You know, I could name all of your names that I taught, but you'd sue me for naming your name, and I'm not about to do that. You're not worth it. Go ahead.
37. After this man rose up Judas of Galilee in the days of taxing and drew away much people after him, he also perished, and all, even as many as obeyed him, were dispersed.
And he perished?
He perished.
That's two of them.
Right.
And I'm still alive. I'm telling you, folks, I'm still alive by the grace and mercy of God, or I would have joined Terry in heaven. You know, all your wicked witchcrafts and sins is what brought Terry to a place where malignant lymphoma formed in him, and they were going to give him chemotherapy on a Tuesday, started, and early Monday morning, God took him to heaven with a loud shout and a loud voice. And I know Terry is a lot happier than you are. And I'm just happy as I can be. Go ahead, Jane.
38, and now I say unto you, refrain from these men, and let them alone. For if this counsel or this work be of men, it shall come to naught. But it be of God, you cannot overthrow it, lest haply you be found even to fight against God. And to him they agreed. And when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus, and let them go. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ.
You see, you people say you preach Jesus. You don't preach Jesus. If you preach Jesus, you'd be preaching the resurrection. You don't preach the resurrection. The resurrection is power. You don't have any power. I've seen your power. You don't have any power. You didn't even know what power was when you met me. Oh, I know some of you spoke in tongues. But you want to know something? You can speak in tongues and not have a revelation of the gospel, and by and large, your faith is null and void. The charismatic movement is just a whole lot of loose tongues talking with little or no faith. To find somebody in the charismatic movement with some faith is absolutely a novelty. No question. You can't stop us. I'm just telling you, for your own good. And you know what Gamaliel said? You're going to find out that you're fighting against God. We have been all these years. Well, you have. You fought against God ever since I came to Plano. You know, I've been to Plano 33 years. 33 years preaching this same gospel. When it was about 20 years, some person walked in here one day. They had been here for 20 years. And they said, "Well, Roy, you're preaching the same thing you were preaching 20 years ago." I said, "Come back 20 years and I'll be preaching the same thing." That's what God commanded me to preach, the gospel. You know what you people are? We'll get to it before long. I think it's the 17th chapter of the book of Acts. Those people would come together to hear and to speak some new doctrine. They'd come to hear or to speak some new doctrine. I've been listening to this in the charismatic movement since 1970. So we're not charismatics. Well, you might as well be. Neither one of you have anything to say.